Chris Sale and his burgeoning fashion career, or lack thereof. He's been suspended for insubordination away from the Chicago White Sox for 5 games. Will this make him more or less likely to be traded? We will ask our next guest, our good buddy Matt Stairs, 19-year big leaguer, joins us now on the Andrew Walker Show. How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Pretty good. I love it. I cannot get enough of this Chris Sale story. He is a great pitcher and apparently a bit of a wild card. What did you think?
Well, I mean, when we heard he had the altercation, of course, all the questions was, he getting a fight with somebody? You know, who was he mouthing to? Then we found out about the jerseys, about being cut up or taking a knife to him. We're like, are you kidding me? You know, and someone asked me, he said, what would you have done? I said, listen, of all the jerseys I've worn throughout my career, and how many have looked good and how many have looked bad on me, I mean, I would never be able to get them all cut if I wanted to. I thought it was funny.
It was hilarious, but it is strange. Like, let's say it is embarrassing. Let's say this, and he'll probably have to come out and apologize, and that would be the right move for him to do. But he originally said, or at least the report goes, that these throwback blue uniforms he was wearing were uncomfortable. He wasn't comfortable. And some guys are very picky about what they wear and how they look good, feel good, play good, all of that. So this is your star. Like, this is a legit every year Cy Young candidate who obviously is a little temperamental. And he says, listen, we can't wear these because I'm not comfortable in them. It just doesn't work. And the organization was rigid on it. They said, well, kind of, you know, too bad. And so then he just snapped. Should your star player get a little leeway in these situations? Not saying the snap job was right, because, you know, that just went beyond crazy town. But should your star player be catered to a little more? What do you think if you're in that room?
Absolutely not. I mean, he's your star pitcher, but you got the star hitters hitting behind you that it's just as uncomfortable to hit as it is to pitch in, or you got guys that have to play the outfield and run down, you know, fly balls for him or playing defense. So no, I don't think, honestly, I don't think superstars should get treated any different than guys who come in the league. Rookies, yeah, they're gonna get play by the book, you know, whatever. But I think the starting nine is equal. You know, I don't care who it is on the mound. I don't care if you're Hall of Fame or if you're a second year pitcher. You know, the bottom line is that they're doing this for one. It's going towards charity because they're gonna sign the jerseys afterwards and they're gonna make a ton of money for someone. But it's a jersey. You know, I talked about the Toronto Blue Jays jerseys. Remember the baby blue ones?
Yep.
Where I believe on Friday nights? And I thought they looked great. Now, I thought I looked like a character in the Smurfs. You know, you had the Papa Smurf, the Chef, and Clumsy, and then I was the Chubby Smurf. But I wore it. I thought, and I had good numbers in it, so I said, hell yeah, I'll wear it. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, one, stop being, don't embarrass your team, your family, your organization by doing this. And, you know, I expect a big apology coming out if he's still a White Sox.
So it's first, because he was kind of the ringleader in this whole Adam and his son Drake LaRoche thing at the beginning of the year. Chris Sale was front and center. And at the time, I didn't necessarily agree with it, but I said, well, at least that guy, your best player, is he seems to be a supportive teammate. He seems to be a bit of a ringleader. Sure. And now I'm not so sure, because there's that, which was a big incident, and this is a big incident with a guy acting alone. Does he just want out? Like, is that what this is?
Yeah, there's no way I can answer that one. If you figure if your superstar, your best pitcher wants to, and one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball wants out, you demand a trade or you ask for a trade. I mean, you know, the incident with Adam LaRoche and spring training, hats off. I support him, what he did.
Okay.
I thought it was tremendous. But this is going overboard. And it's almost like the point where he's thinking he's better than the game or better than the organization, and I can do what I want because I am the guy. And trust me, they could trade him and go out and find two or three more guys that can replace him in a few years. So, you know, the first incident I agreed with, the second one I disagree with. The bottom line is, if they give you a jersey with a thong on it, then you wear it and you play with it.
Yeah.
You wear it. I mean, unless you wear work boots. It's just, you know, it's part of your contract when you sign it. The organization has a say, and if the jersey doesn't fit, at least you can fix it. But if it's uncomfortable, so what? You pitch it there. You go out there and shut your mouth and pitch.
Matt Stairs is our guest on the Andrew Walker Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So if you're another team, and I was kind of thinking about this too, like he is, a legit ace, a star lefty. He leads the American League in wins, all that kind of stuff. If you are another team, well, all of a sudden, Chris Sale might, like, it's still going to be expensive, but he might be available now where he otherwise wasn't. Does this give you pause if you're another organization? You've seen two incidents, and I know one you agreed with, one you did not, but you've seen two incidents in one clubhouse in 1 year. Are you hesitant to make a call about Chris Sale?
No, because I think you can look at it two different ways. You can look at it and say, he is a troublemaker, or is he doing this trouble because he really wants to get out of Chicago? You know, like, there's certain ways you can look at it. Look, if I'm an owner of a team or GM or something, and Chris Sale's for sale, and you can get him for a couple of prospects to get you over that hump, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm making the phone call and saying, listen, you know, we'll fly up there and sign the papers for you. So let's get this deal done. It's just apparently he is not happy in Chicago with what's going on right now with the Adam LaRoche, the jerseys. Why, I don't know. Maybe because the team started scuffling. They were doing so well early. I don't know. But it's that's not going to hold me back from going out and getting him. And I mean, look at the Chicago Cubs. I mean, they got Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what happened with Chapman. And you know, Reyes goes back to the Mets. We all know what happened to him. So, you know, I guess you have to turn your head sometimes. This is totally different, of course. But I'm going to get him because I don't think he's that big of a deal in the locker room.
Yeah,
what he needs another veteran to put him in place.
Yeah.
Put him to sleep for a little bit, or, you know, have to sit down that really good powwow.
And I wonder too, because you are right, Aroldis Chapman, almost any market he goes to, there's going to be a moralistic conversation on the acquisition. I know there would be in Toronto. People would said, can we cheer for this guy? It's different in Chicago because
right. They're
the best team in the league. They haven't won a World Series since 1908. You will look the other way on any issue if it's winning you ball games. And that's where I look at. So I look at Reyes and I look at Chapman. I look at this thing from Chris Sale. It's an hilarious story. It's childish. You know, right. none of us approve of this. And at the same time, it's not a domestic issue. It's not drugs. It's not like it's just a guy, you know, being a bit of a loser. Like, that's not a crime.
Right. And no one got harmed. There's no harm in what he did. He just did something that he did not like. I mean, he did not like his uniform, so he cut him up. I don't know how many he cut up. It's a totally different story.
Yeah.
So to say that you're going to go out and sign him and trade him, you know, whatever, I think you can really turn your head. And just, you know, you can really turn your head on that one. That one's a no-brainer. If he's available and if you're making a run for the pennant, by all means, you go out and get that guy because he is a game changer.
So we're a week away from the deadline. The Phillies, we've heard Jeremy Hellickson. We've heard about free agent to be Carlos Ruiz. Who is going to be on the way out, in your opinion? And do you see any of these guys perhaps fitting in with what Toronto is trying to do?
Well, we're not going to make a blockbuster trade. What we do is we're in a totally different situation than last year. Last year we had to move players and we had to free up money and, you know, get rid of some contracts. You know, Chase Utley and Cole Hamels. Yeah, I can see Hellickson. There's big talks about Hellickson maybe going down here to Miami and joining the Marlins. He's been pitching the ball. He's been pitching very well. Now the bottom line is this a guy that you want to rent for the remainder of the season? Do you see him being in your playoffs and pitching on the roster? That's the big question. You know, I guess it really depends on how he does. Peter Borges' name has come up where I think he'd be a great guy who would be a fourth, fifth outfielder, defense, hit against right-handers. He's been swinging the bat pretty good lately. Carlos Ruiz, smart catcher. Again, I don't think we're trying to move anyone like really hard. We're listening to the people come in and talk to us. You know, I think David Hernandez, he's got a tremendous arm. He's had a tough month, but you know, he was tipping pitches. He's back to throwing the ball well. And Genmar Gomez, I would not trade Genmar Gomez, our closer, just because of the fact that you don't really want to blow up your bullpen and then look and try to rebuild for next year. So there's some players out there. I don't know what Toronto's looking for. Really, I don't. If they're looking for another bat, if they're looking for defense or starting pitcher or bullpen, But there's some teams interested in Jeremy Hellickson, that's for sure.
Yeah. And the guy used to, with varying degrees of success, but used to pitch in the American League East, so he's at least familiar with that. Matt Stairs joins us on the Andrew Walker Show. So Hall of Fame yesterday, Ken Griffey Jr. goes in, Mike Piazza goes in. It's funny how you get to this point, right? And you could appreciate both. There's Ken Griffey Jr., who is a super stud prospect and panned out that way. And there's Mike Piazza, who we all know was drafted as basically a favor to somebody late in the draft. And here they are on the same day getting inducted. Do you have specific memories of either or both of these guys?
Well, Piazza, I played against some. I didn't play against him a lot. I actually saw him in winter ball, played a few times. You know, both guys very caring, very... You know, they respected their peers, and Piazza, I enjoyed watching him. I think what he did was tremendous, being a catcher. Ken Griffey Jr. and I had a pretty good relationship. You know, him in Seattle, I was in Oakland at the time. He's a diehard family guy, so am I. Yeah, and it seemed like when we talked, it was always, you know, basically how's the family going? You know, how's the family doing? I just admire the way he played. He played the game so hard. There was never any questions about him cheating or anything like that. He made quite a few errors in center field because he wanted to do everything for the whatever it took to win. And, you know, by breaking his wrist going into the wall or, you know, cutting his father off in left field to make a play. just a tremendous, tremendous ball player and human being, and very excited to see both those guys go into the Hall of Fame.
It is tough because there's so many different players and different positions and everything, but is Ken Griffey Jr. the best player that you played against position-wise?
You got to look at different. I mean, he's playing center field. He's running stuff down the center field, and you know, I played with a lot of great infielders as well. I mean, Mike Bordick was a great shortstop. Derek Jeter was a great shortstop. You know, Scott Rowland was a tremendous third baseman. I just think that I've
come on, Mike. We can't compare Mike Bordick to Ken Griffey Jr. Stairsy.
No. I'm going with different positions.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying all over the best defensive player that I've ever watched.
Right.
Ken Griffey Jr. was tremendous, and so was Jim Edmonds. Jim Edmonds was a hell of a center fielder as well. And I'm not comparing the two guys by no means. I'm going by positions and saying by watching him in the outfield, he's probably the best defensive center fielder I've ever played against or have seen play.
Hey, thanks.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, that's fair, for sure. And he also had, you know, a million home runs to his credit as well, which helped. Hey, I someone posted a picture right now, so I will never look at those baby blue uniforms ever again without thinking Papa Smurf. So thank you for that. It's just emblazoned in my brain now.
Yeah, remember, I wasn't Papa Smurf. I was Chubby Smurf. Papa Smurf was a Skip, and I was a Chubby Smurf.
Oh, okay. Chubby Smurf, if that was a real Smurf. Hey, and at least, hey, when I look at, so two really good left-handed hitters, yourself, Kent Griffey Jr., you can all, like, I think you swung harder than Jr. You did that.
I swung harder, yeah, but he had a lot more pop than I did. He had the prettiest swing in baseball. I mean, he really did. We watched film yesterday during the game when we were in Pittsburgh, and it was the same swing every time the ball jumped off his bat. He never got really fooled, and I was just surprised. Not surprised, I mean, just how long his barrel stayed through the zone and being able to drive that ball, and that sweet swing was tremendous. You know, and of course, the hat on backwards in the Hall of Fame was tremendous, and everything he does is cool. I mean, he's just a cool dude, so it was a great day for him and his family, and it was nice to say that I actually played against him and considered him a friend.